Gation. Please stand.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, we ask you to look over this board to make good decisions over all the information, making right decisions so that everybody gets a fair chance. We thank you, and we say that in your name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mrs. Shirley Wright.
Here.
Mr. Joe Richardson.
Here.
Mr. Derek Batzel.
Here.
Mr. Jason Kreuter.
Here.
Mr. Don Sparkman.
Here.
And our vice chair, Mrs. Danielle Roos Laird, is excused. We have a quorum.
Okay. We have approval of minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second that.
I have a motion by Jason to approve the minutes, a second by Joseph. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. You swear in officers, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Could please the board for the record, Dwayne Thomas, Greg McClellan, Matt White, Charles Rich, and David Thompson.
Do you want to start with the people that's here?
We do have some folks here this evening that would like to address the board. Mm-hmm. Please, the board will go with those people that are on the agenda.
Yes, sir.
That arrive. Good evening, board members. My name is Charles Rich. I'm with the city of Ocala. I am the duly appointed chief code official for the city. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement and certified in all four levels of training. I've been in charge of the division for more than 6 years. I have 30 years of law enforcement experience, and I'll be presenting your cases this evening. So please, the board, we would go to page 3 of your agenda. COM 14-1107, a case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas and the city of Ocala versus Sound View Homes Loan Trust, a location at 1516 Southeast 22nd Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of sections 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter, and section 34143, maintenance requirements for properties in default. The parcel ID is 2941-001-007. Legal service was obtained on 8-4-2014 for the notice of violation and 8-25-2014 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 8-25-2014 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the SunBiz report and the current property registration that's on file in our office. This is a case where Auckland Loans and Soundview Homes, I'm assuming.
We've had this case before, haven't we?
No, sir. They have registered the property, however, they just have not been maintaining it as required by the code. We do have representation this evening here from Tampa. He is an attorney. And the summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and Officer Thomas added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Thomas enabled the property to be registered by the bank. However, the respondents have not come into compliance with the overgrowth and maintenance violations upon the property. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent terminate the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. Staff has included in your presentation copies of photographs indicating the current condition of the property at the end of your presentation. I think that staff has agreed with representation this evening. They've advised that they're going to try to get it into compliance as quick as possible. We have offered 14 days. He'll counter with what he wants to bring to the board. If you'd like, I'd read the staff recommendation.
Yes, please do.
The staff recommendation is find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 and 34143, order them to cut and clean up their property, property removing any junk and debris. Two, to maintain the property in accordance with the property registration and maintenance ordinance. And three, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days. If any wish to fine $50 per day and city to enter upon the property and do the cleanup work utilizing any and all means required, with all costs assessed days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. At this time, I've called their representation, and the city is prepared to answer any questions you may have. Having heard none, call up their representation.
Members of the board, Paul Messina on behalf of Auckland Loan Servicing and Soundview Home Trust. Members of the board, I received notice in the form of a referral on September 24th. Since that day, I've spoken with Dwayne Thomas, the code enforcement officer involved. My client is currently assigned a representative they go through a bidding process to find a vendor and a contractor to come do the work. My understanding is they're at the tail end of the bidding process. They should have someone out there soon.
How long is your client on this property in the foreclosure?
I don't have the exact date in front of me, Your Honor, but it's...
Because I travel by there every day.
I can tell you when the list pendants was filed.
Good.
You have a copy of that. I'm sorry, title.
Looks like October 9th of 2013.
At 13, you think?
So the foreclosure was completed by then, and title was issued.
Right.
So it's been a while.
Because periodically, somebody comes out there and mows it. I travel that road every single day, and it seems like it just gets out of control, and then somebody comes and mows it, but they don't do it on a regular basis. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
I was just going to request 30 days to have everything in compliance.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. But that's what you want? 30 days?
30 days.
It takes 30 days to hire a lawnmower man to come out there and clean it?
I'm just trying to provide a safe time frame.
Well, look at it. Would you want to live beside it, sir?
Yes, sir.
Let's have a discussion on that.
Seems that the staff recommendation is pretty fair.
You think it's fair?
You think they should do it sooner than 14 days?
I travel this road every day, and I see this house there all the time. And it gets mowed just periodically, you know, and it grows up, and the neighbors have called me about it, and then finally it got on notice. Now you show up, you know. I know you say you want 30 days, but I think these neighbors deserve something faster than that, you know. Dwayne, can you come up here, please?
Yes, sir.
You've been working with this gentleman?
Yes.
And he's been working with you?
Yes.
Good?
Yeah, once he was in receipt, he's been in contact with me for closer.
Okay.
But you are right, there's a lot of neighborhood interest.
It is, and there's awful expensive homes. It doesn't matter if it wasn't, you know, but there is, and it's just a big eyesore there. And to hire a lawn care company, and I know the bidding system and all, but you work for a bank, am I correct?
Yes, sir, I'm represented by them.
Okay, and they have other homes in Ocala, right?
Yes, they do, but each is individually drawn on a separate page.
I understand that, but something that needs to be done this quick needs to be done. There's also a pool behind there. Is there a pool behind this one?
Not that I'm aware of, no, sir.
Okay, I was aware there was a pool behind there. Somebody had told me that. Staff recommendations is 14 days. Discussion on the board, 14 days seem fair enough?
Yes.
It does.
Jason, does it seem fair enough to you?
Yep.
Bethel?
I've been aware of it for longer than that, so.
Yeah, I mean, this picture on the 3rd.
I mean, you had a whole year to do this, and I know, excuse me?
This picture is taken on the 3rd.
Right.
So, from 14 days from today, that grass is going to be pretty high.
Yeah. Actually, I'd like to shorten the time down even from 14 days, guys. I don't really care if the bank has to pay a fine. You know, I think the neighborhood should be cleaned up that quick, you know? I'd like to shorten it to 10 days. just like, as you said, it'd be higher by that time. It's a mess. That house is a mess.
10 days is good with me. The secretary.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Jason has made a motion to, for 10 days, to change their staff recommendation to 10 days. And Joseph has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, sir, you have 10 days.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
If it pleases the board, we have some old business representation this evening on page 5 in the consent agenda for non-compliance. I won't be showing you anything on this. I think that we are in agreement. They've advised me that they brought the property into compliance this afternoon. Therefore, what I would like for the board to do is to extend the time frame.
Which one?
COM 14-1162 in old business.
Okay.
For consent agenda for non-compliance. What I would like to do is extend the time in the first order 7 additional days. This board to grant an extension of 7 days so that we can go out and do a reinspection, give them some additional time if there's anything else that needs to be caught up.
Have they been working with you?
Well, I can't address that at the moment. It's just that we would feel it's been, being upon the fact that there's additional circumstances involved in this case, we'd like to just extend it 7 days so that we can get it reinspected. And
what's the circumstance?
Well, I mean, we're dealing with an elderly couple here, I believe, this wife has passed away. I'll not let them speak to about it, but
okay.
He has representation here for him, mind you.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I'll let them address you on,
thank you,
on the additional circumstances, but I think for us, we just need to go out and get another inspection done.
Okay.
Tied it up, we'll close the case.
Okay.
The only thing they'll be responsible
swear, for is swear in, ma'am.
Case calls.
Hi. You guys swear in.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you could state your name and address for the record, and if he's going to speak also, just his name and address for the record also.
I'm Patricia Ann Tappendrow. I am his daughter-in-law, and I'm here to speak on his behalf. The property in question, my husband went down there today. It's all mowed. I took pictures, but obviously I was told that isn't enough.
You brought the property in compliance.
We believe so, that we did.
Okay.
But the circumstances is, his wife, my mother-in-law, is bedridden. She had a stroke. She's, you know, it's very difficult.
So you need an additional 7 days to clean this matter up?
Well, it's just about done.
Okay.
I'm hoping that what we did will suffice, but, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
I brought the pictures, but I just don't want my father-in-law to have to.
You understand if we give you 7 days and it's not in compliance that you can be brought back as a repeat violator,
okay, so
right?
So what this gentleman down here told us needed to be done?
Yes, ma'am.
Is taken care of.
Well, it seems that it and has it, been. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was under the.
And just for
same
to know.
Playbook.
Same playbook. That, yeah.
That the house is secure. I mean, it's an empty house, but
right,
it is secure. There are no broken windows. Nobody can get in there.
Okay.
I live right in front of it. It's watched.
Okay.
There's no squatters. There's no. I mean,
good enough.
My husband basically mows the grass once a week. It's taken care of. So.
Okay. Would you like to say something, sir?
No. It's okay.
You're okay? Okay, good.
I have one question.
Yes.
I know that if you're in violation, that you will receive a fine so much every day. He received this. It's a $97. what is this, sir?
Invoice for the cost of prosecution.
Okay, so.
Or the law,
right,
requires that the cost of the city is.
We can't waive that, ma'am. You have to pay that.
You
have to pay. You do have to pay that.
We do have
okay
to pay this.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
can we do that
and
now?
You
have a check?
If you have a
cash
check? Yeah.
No.
All right.
Tomorrow's another day.
Cash.
You guys want to go ahead and
no,
do this up, please?
Cash.
Yeah. I,
sure.
Yeah.
Good.
Are we good?
Well, we're going to vote on it right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you for coming up.
No problem.
Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to extend the time in the order for an additional 7 days.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have Jason made a motion to accept staff recommendation, and Shirley has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
It passed. You have 7 more days, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you. You also.
That'll bring us to page 4 of your agenda this evening, CON 141560. Case involving Officer Jason Philcrease and Matt Whitehead. The City of Ocala versus Perswad Suku Marie et al. A location at 927 Northeast 3rd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 4211, disorderly houses. Section 6261, levy. 6262, tax certificate required. 6266, delinquency. Penalties for engaging in business without a certificate. And 6278, tax certificate. Tax constitutes a debt to the city. We've also included Section 122.12.10, criteria for rooming and boarding house. The parcel ID is 2832-036-000. Legal service was obtained on 10-2-2014.
Look at this. Look at this.
And the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the OPD calls for service, a previous case spreadsheet of the times that law enforcement has been trying to work to gain compliance on this property, and copies of leases. We've also included the requirement for a business tax certificate.
Do we have the owner of the property here?
Yes, sir. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Philcrease was in this location due to citizens' complaints, and upon arrival observed the property in violation of the city's code. Officer Philcrease observed that there was no business tax certificate issued for the rental activity as required. Essentially, people who own rental properties and are renting properties to folks in the city are required to have a business tax certificate for that activity. He spoke with Miss Aaron, a tenant living in apartment 931, who stated that people would come and sleep on the front porch and in the hallways. Mm-hmm. She also advised Officer Philcrease that there is no property manager living on site. Additionally, Officer Philcrease had neighbors approach him while at the location and advised him of loud noises coming from the property or the house at night, as well as fighting and people living upon a tent in the property with some of the information that we had received. The neighbors have stated that they've had to call the police on several occasions for the property, and a review of the police department's activity upon the property reveals that the police have been there 15 times in the last year. Code enforcement has had 12 previous cases upon the property. As part of your presentation, we've included copies of the photographs of the property. This is essentially a zoned R3. It is zoned for multifamily, meaning multifamily residential.
R3 is three apartments, or?
Well, this one's five, so it's 3 to 5. We would allow three unrelated persons per apartment. Mm-hmm. So that's essentially where we're at on that. Now, we've calculated back. We typically go back a total of 7 years. Mm-hmm. We've calculated back that and included that in the calculation for the business tax certificate for you. We've included that calculation on, I'm just going to get that information for you here, on page 72 of your presentation. It shows the amount of the business tax certificate per year, the interest that's required per Chapter 205.053, subparagraph 1 of Florida statutes, and the penalty per Chapter 205.053, subparagraph 3 for Florida statutes. We've also included copies, if we go through here, and I would let you see that starting on page. That's their documentation. I'm just trying to find some of the additional copy of the police department cases.
Okay.
I'm prepared to answer some of the questions that you may have. If you'll notice on page 5, it shows assist other agency. That generally indicates if they arrested someone and had a warrant there, then they had a citizen's assist, generally some kind of a civil issue, departmental information case, then some disturbance cases, an additional fugitive arrest at the location, security detail, where officers were called to conduct securities there, suspicious persons report, they did a trespass after warning on 3 occasions. So that's the police activity. I've also included a copy of the relevant statutes involved here, beginning on page 30 of your presentation. So you were able to see that a disorderly house, it shall be unlawful for any person to keep or maintain within the city a disorderly house. No person carrying on or conducting any business in the city shall permit or allow disorderly, riotous conduct in his premises, such as fighting, quarreling, gambling at any time, loud noise at night, or disturbance of a similar nature, calculated or having the effect to interrupt or disturb the peace and tranquility or quiet of the neighborhood. So that's where we're at. We're showing that we do not have a business tax certificate. We're showing that we've had police activity at the location indicating that it's not been in compliance with the disorderly houses. Now, as far as the problem with the rooming and boarding house, because it's being conducted as a rooming and boarding house with people coming in and going and sleeping on the porch and things of that nature, that's what creates the violation here. Mm-hmm. We would love for him to sign some folks up, have them be legal occupiers, renters, if you will.
It's being a nuisance, in other words.
Well, it could be.
It could be a nuisance abatement case.
And in this situation, we would want those folks to turn the power on in their own names. They have separate meters, separate family quarters, separate kitchens for each apartment, and that's how it should be occupied and utilized, not as a rooming and boarding house.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I think so we have some people here from the neighborhood.
We have some neighborhood.
Before we hear from the owner, I'd like to listen to these people.
That would be part of my case, and so therefore I would call. I don't know if one person is going to speak for all of you or if you all want to speak separately.
I had a quick question. The yes, the tax that the city assessed, has that been paid?
It has not been paid.
And when was that assessed?
Well, we've gone back 7 years because a business tax certificate was never obtained for the property.
Okay.
So in conjunction with what we do on the false alarm fees, we generally go back 7 years for assessment. So to try to be fair, we rounded this off to 7 years.
And it's only $50 a year?
Yes, sir.
It's pretty fair.
And then what happens is if you look at the...
Anytime you have an R3 piece of property, you have to register with the state and the city. With
and
the
pay tax.
You have to pay the taxes on, and they're well aware of that.
Page
is the owner here, he says.
Yes. Page 72 is the delinquent business tax layout of the assessment. Mm-hmm. At this time, I will call the neighboring residents of that wish to speak. State your name and address.
Do you swear from the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And if you could just state your name and address.
John Gamache, 948 Northeast 4th Street, which is approximately 2 miles down from the house in question. I'm here with 4 other neighbors, and there's a 5th one she has found her this evening. And we're just addressing the boarding problem.
John, can you pull that microphone a little closer to you?
What we're experiencing is that we're all in a single family residence area on 4th Street, and then there's this multi-family on 3rd Street, and it's a perfect location for people just to hang out as a gathering place and a place to do mischievous business in the alleyway. And it is zoned for multifamily, five apartments or something like that. But we're seeing on a daily basis much more than
starting to sleep in their carport and bringing in carpets and tarps and starting to set up camp there. And people don't seem to really be leaving. They'll come over and pass out.
So no management in this place that you see?
Correct. And lots of different cars. There should just be whatever, 5 cars or 7 cars that should be the same every day. Okay. But we've got pictures of lots of cars come and go in different tags, okay, different people. And a lot of times, there'll just be cars coming down the alley. They'll stop. Somebody from the house will come up with a car.
Are you representing everybody, or yeah, does everybody want to talk?
No, we all see the same thing. So
okay,
if there are any specific questions, I can answer them. And it's very obvious what's going on there. And it's just too many people and no management. We're tired of it.
Mm-hmm. May I inquire?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Gomes, can you speak to the fact that there's people that you have observed sleeping on the porch and what have you?
Yes.
Do they sleep like just in street clothes, or do they have a sleeping bag or a cot?
Well, there was the tent tarp.
Like a lean-to?
Yeah, that was being set up. It started as a large picnic table, and then it got a picnic table with a lean-to on the side of it, then it got walls, and then it got a dog tied to it, and then there were 3 or 4 people living there, so we called on that. That took a couple weeks to get taken care of. Then the people, same different crowd of people, started moving next door to the vacant house, and the neighbor got his car broken into. Another neighbor got the house broken into a couple, 3 times. And there's just been lots of theft and drug-related problems. Like, we use the alleys at night to get into our properties because a lot of our driveways are in the back. And when we come by that house, there's just so many people there that we can't get by because cars are just stopping and going. And,
so can I ask you another question? Do you have independent recollection or independent knowledge of those people who were just coming on there paying anyone any money to stay there, or they just...
I haven't seen a transfer of money, but it seems that there'll be a few people that'll be there for a couple weeks, and then they'll be gone, and then there'll be a different couple people, and they'll be gone. And they just hang out on the park bench, or there's a bench in front of one of the buildings.
Is the alley lit back there, John?
The tenants and homeowners have now installed their own lights.
Did not the city go back there and put a light back there?
Nothing that has...
I think we put one on the corner of that alleyway back there.
Well, there needs to be some sort of reduction in the amount of people that are there.
Right.
And just the transients that are coming through.
Okay.
Because they seem to just hang out on the benches during the day, and then they'll sleep on the porches at night.
If you had to sum it up in one word, what would you say that apartment building is?
Just a nuisance.
Okay, good enough. Thank you. Can we hear from the owner, please?
You swear from it the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Media Ignarian, 12520 East Highway 25, Buffalo, our brother, 32179.
Sorry, how did you pronounce your name?
Ignarian.
Okay, so you're not the owner of the property?
I'm part of it.
Who's the other owner?
My sister's.
You collect the rents, though?
Yes, sir.
You manage the property?
Yes, sir.
But from what the neighbors say, you're not managing it very well.
Well, each person in those apartments have complete leases. Those apartments have complete kitchens, complete refrigerators, and the self-contained. They have separate meters. We've owned that property since 1985.
Looks like you've had a lot of police over there.
Well, we have... contacted the police department and they...
May I swear on, please? Because actually,
yeah.
I'm the assistant of them and I do a lot of the running around and all the paperwork. And
Swear yourself in.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Shelby Decker, 15015, Southwest 43rd, Harrisburg, now Florida, 30470.
And so are you going to speak for the owner, Ms. Decker?
I am handling this in July and the other issue, which I'm going to do.
And we have a signed affidavit.
Yes.
We do have a signed affidavit?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I have already spoken to Mr. Gilchrist back on the 22nd of September. I had handed him all the information. I don't know if we have it with him.
It's part of the case law.
It's not online.
What kind of information?
The late bills, which have five separate meters, the letter from 911 management.
How about the police activity here?
Do you do any sort of screening on your tenants before they move in, like a background check or anything like that?
No. I do not.
How about the people just hanging out on the porches and outside in the tent and all that, you know?
Well, the thing is I dropped all the paperwork off to Mr. Gilchrist on the 22nd of September, okay?
And that's not the question I asked you, ma'am. I asked you about the
so
tenants.
There's several things in this case, yes, I'm aware of.
You are?
Yeah. Okay? My point is on October 2nd, I had a meeting, Mr. Muni, myself, had a meeting with Mr. Matthew, L-E-I-B-F-I-E.
Livefree.
Okay? And Jason Gilchrist. We had a meeting. All the matters were taken care of, I believe, at the meeting, correct? Except for the disorderly.
Well, you can ask him a question after you've answered
that question. You haven't answered my question, ma'am.
I'm just letting you know that there was a meeting.
You can state that to them.
There was a meeting.
We'll call him up as a witness later.
Okay.
The question that was asked to you, how do you address the people that are sleeping on the porch and on your building, around the sides of your buildings, where the neighborhood is complaining about it? Would you live beside that house?
Sir, I understand that. But there's a process of eviction, which...
Ma'am, answer the question. What do you do about it?
The man that was allowing the people to loaf on the front porch when he was occupying the front apartment, which has the front porch, was evicted.
Mm-hmm.
It takes approximately 5 to 6 weeks if they don't abandon the house in the middle of the process. We went over there several times on and off, and then I spoke to the tenants that occupy the other residents and asked them to call the police when they see people sleeping on the front porch or call me or whatever. The officers always told me I had to meet them there.
That's correct.
Okay, I changed that Friday because there was one person that was still there. They were all gone at this point, but there was one person that was still being okay.
So you're telling me that you put trespassing warrants against these people?
I was with Sergeant Young and Sergeant Long from 8 o'clock Friday morning until 1 o'clock in the afternoon when they gave me these posters to post on the property and this piece of paper stating that they can arrest the people for trespassing without me or the owners being there on suspicion because the tenants feel uncomfortable. They need to like verify that they're actually visiting someone there, you know what I'm saying, not loitering around. So this is posted all over the property. Sergeant Young gave me that. But pretty much I went there, or an officer went there to remove the man, he hid. There was one left, and he hid. I went there an hour and a half later after I made copies of this to post on the house, and he was there. Well, he picked a fight with me, okay, and he's twice my size, and told me I can't do nothing about it because previously when the police were called, they went there, really couldn't do anything because they're saying they're waiting for somebody to get home or he's my friend, I'm waiting on whatever, whatever. So I said no, and the man got into an argument with me.
Well, ma'am, I rent places, and if I roll up on one of my places and there's somebody that's not supposed to be there,
mm-hmm.
I call the police and they remove them.
Well, the police came.
Okay. So I don't understand why the police department's not acting for you like they would for me.
They are now. Friday.
So are you saying that everybody that's a problem that has been causing these problems has been evicted and is off the property?
They were gone by the second week of Now there's just lingering ones that say that they're waiting on people, so-and-so's not home, whatever. But I told the other tenants to call the police. If you see someone that does not live in the property.
Isn't that your job, ma'am, as a manager? Is to manage your property, not your tenants?
Sir, the thing is when you call the police and you're not there seeing it.
Well, if you have a problem, you need to take care of your problem yourself, not your tenants.
I asked my tenants if they felt unsafe to call the police. When the police get there, they used to say they can't do anything without the owner.
And you said you've taken this property over since when?
Excuse me?
When have you been going and doing this? Since 95, so you're aware of all these police officers that have been over here?
Sometimes the tenants get in arguments or domestic violence and they don't tell me and the officers go and arrest them. Sometimes people
okay.
Follow it, loud music.
I've heard enough of that. Okay, how about the license of the building? How come the building hasn't been licensed?
The meeting, we were asked if we run it out of the city, we have to have a city certificate. All the payments get mailed to P.O. Box 1010 in Akawaha. That's in the county. And at the meeting, they said that wasn't one of the requirements for the certificate. If we did business and had an office here in Ocala, we would have to be required to. Am I correct, sir?
No.
The mailing address shouldn't.
All rentals.
Inside the city limits will have a license.
Yes. Yeah, we.
And if you're in business, you should know that.
Well, I was misinformed by him and his supervisor.
We met with Jason Gilchrist on last Thursday and he said.
Do you have any more property inside the city limits, ma'am? Can I ask you that?
No.
Okay, is this your first apartment building you ever had?
No.
Have you ever had to get a license from the city to perform business in the city?
Never. Since 1985, we've been running this business.
And
never, yeah, I thought
it's. Jeff?
I think that I can explain some of the confusion here. There was some confusion about whether or not they had to have an office here. That was cleared up by the fact that if there's a rental, all rentals are required to have a business tax certificate. That's why I stated in my previous statement to the board, and that's per code.
That's right.
There's no business name, sir. It's in people's individual.
Ma'am, you have a business. You're running a business when you collect rent for apartments inside the city limits. That is a business.
Well, Jason Gilchrist and his supervisor advised us that that's not one of the requirements on Thursday when we met them. So now we are setting two standards here.
No, sorry, are you planning on getting the tax certificate and paying the fine?
Sir, we had a meeting and we were told the only thing we were going to discuss.
I'm just, yes or no, are you planning on getting a tax certificate?
The affordable housing, the people at the house. That's my,
okay.
I'm confused.
Me too.
We had a meeting.
No, we're
not getting anywhere. Every time we ask you a question, you go somewhere else with it, you know? You need to answer the questions. The questions at hand right now, are you going to get your business certificate?
Well, I need to actually know if that's the law because I was misinformed on the meeting on
would you
Thursday.
Please,
ma'am,
sir,
you're engaging in a business within the city limits. You're required to have the occupation license and the tax certificate.
Since what year?
That's what the code said. You're charged with knowledge of the code.
Since what year? Since 85. When did that come into effect? Since 85.
That has been an effective.
I've been paying on apartment buildings ever since I can remember. You have to pay tax. You have to have your certificate. Well, okay, if you don't want to listen to us, ma'am, that's fine. That's fine. But we're trying to solve this problem here.
We'd like to listen to
you. We will, the staff will get you the date of the enactment of the statute, we'll provide you with information as to how much is owed.
Can you ask for a postponement of this case until Jason Gilchrist and our office is here?
No.
Yeah, we have the officer here.
We have the officer right here.
This gentleman, yeah. Well, this gentleman talked to us on Thursday, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not the question. The question at hand is, are you going to get your building licensed?
Well, if we're required to, but
You are required. The city attorney just told you you had to.
But the gentleman on Thursday, he said...
I don't care about that, sir. I just asked you one question. Are you going to license your building or not?
If we have to.
If you have to, so you don't want to answer the question?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We just want to know which laws to follow. We are being misinformed. That's my point.
Okay, I've heard enough. Thank you.
Ma'am, we don't know what Mr. Kilcrease told you.
We don't care.
If he told, if he misinterpreted the code, that is not binding on the city. The code is what you need to follow.
I'd like to have a discussion with the board on this.
I would say if we're able to do a maximum fine of $250 a day, just do $250 a day until this is settled.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And if you come in here as a repeat, repeat offender, then you're going to, we're going to raise that even higher. And if you don't manage your property like it should be managed, these people have to live beside it, you know? You can't have all these arrests going on there and not managing your property. You have to have a license for that property, just like everybody else that has apartments. So the staff recommendation is here that... Yes, sir, you can speak one more time. Yes, sir.
Well, I agree that the board requires us to have a business tax certificate, right? We were never informed of that. We are never aware of that.
Sir, when you go into business, you need to find these things out for yourself. You don't need somebody to send you something. Sir, since 1962, that's been in the law.
Okay, well, now, if you're required to do it, we'll go ahead and do it. But I'll ask the board to give us like 30 days.
No, sir.
Or 15 days to get it. Because to get a business tax certificate, you're going to have to require a building department inspection and all that stuff. And that takes time.
I think staff's recommendation was 14 days. That's pretty close to what he's asking for. Mm-hmm. That would work for the board.
I think
that there was some confusion here with the business tax certificate. He's not required to have a business tax certificate as his business. The rent
property is.
Right.
Property is.
Because he's not in, so him not being in the city does not require...
But he's just twisting it around. That's all that's happening.
I understand, but there may have been some confusion there.
Okay.
Mr. Lightfoot was in on that discussion.
Well, 14 days, he's got enough time to get it done.
If not, he can readdress the board for some additional time.
We're giving him 14 days now?
Well, the 14 days was always a staff...
That's already in here, and it says 50 days for every, and we want to raise that to $250.
I would, if everyone's in agreement.
The maximum is $250 a day, and that's what we're going to do it at if everybody agrees to it.
Yeah.
And give them the 14 days.
And give them the 14 days.
Yeah, after 14 days. If all of these violations are
not
corrected within 14 days and the staff does an inspection, then the fine doesn't kick in, only the cost of prosecution. You'll have 14 days.
Right.
If that's what the board agrees with. But I think everyone's...
Do I hear a motion?
Yeah, I'd make a motion to amend staff recommendation and raise the fine to $250 a day.
So I have a motion from Jason to raise the fine from $50 to $250 a day. You have 14 days. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
I have a second from Joseph. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passed. You have 14 days to get this cleared up. That's it. Thank you, folks, for coming.
And that includes getting the business certificate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Every violation.
Every violation.
Yep.
We have additional representation here this evening.
Okay.
And this will be on page 4, at the top of page 4, CUN 14-1148. The City of Ocala and Officer Jason Kilcrease and Matt Lightfoot, because Jason Kilcrease is out today, versus Kathleen Wyckoff, a location at the 2600 block of Northwest Old Bridgeton Road, a violation of section 3495, weed accumulation of trash and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 22153-001-00. Legal service was obtained on 9-3-2014 for the notice of hearing, and we posted the property on 9-2.
This is a repeat offender.
We are going to be perceived as a repeat violator in this case.
So we did this one before.
Yes, sir. Legal posting was 9/2/2014 for the notice of hearing. We will be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator per chapter 16204 of Florida statutes. And as such, we have included a copy of the original findings of fact and the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case where the city brought the property into compliance. The summary of findings that Officer Kilcrease responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2012, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of set code section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we have included on page 5 a copy of the previous cases and previous liens enacted at this location. At the end of the presentation, we have included copies of the photographs of the current condition of the property. Officer Leifried is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. And we do have representation here this evening by the respondent. I can read the staff recommendation into the record for you.
Please do.
Staff recommendation is that to find the respondent guilty of violating section code section 3495 as a repeat violator for chapter 16204 of Florida statutes, or to 1, cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, defending which a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of $5,000, and the city to enter upon the property, do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. We're prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Now we have the officers come up to the podium, please.
Yeah. Officer Leifried took the pictures on page 4.
Have you been in direct contact with the owner?
No, I have not.
So nobody's been in contact with her, but she's been notified. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Can we hear from the owner, please?
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Kathy Wyckoff, 41 Southwest Seminole Street, Stuart, Florida. I was before y'all in 2012, but this property has been maintained all the way up until recently.
Is this the one behind the auto place there that's on the dead end road and all that kind of thing?
The whole road with the drainage area, mm-hmm. And I offered the property to the city the last time I was before you. It's an unimproved property. There's nothing on it. It has been being mowed. The person that I've hired to mow it hadn't been mowing it, and there are mulberry trees.
And you said you offered it to the city. What did you mean that?
I want to give the road that the city had me build before and this drainage retention area, but that's the problem. There's a little drainage retention area that the city forced me to build over 15 years ago, and a road that goes to...
Well, doesn't this go all the way to the corner, Kathy?
It goes back to the car auction place, mm-hmm. And it dead ends into their fence, so it goes nowhere, and it just creates a place where people, none of the trash is mine, it's not used property.
But it's also beyond the drainage retention area that's there, the rest of that property belongs to you, correct?
And it's mowed. It's kept mowed. There's I didn't know they weren't doing, the drainage retention area. The last time I was before you, we completely cleared all those trees out. We've got all those mulberry trees. It's a horrific, horrible job. It's like land clearing. And they grow like weeds, these mulberry trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got them there clearing it again, but I really would like to gift this drainage retention area.
Well, this board can't make that decision. Kathy, but what we can do is, you already have somebody out there on the property working on it now?
It's being done, but if I just wanted to see if maybe the attorney could suggest that we could get with engineering. I don't even think we need the drainage retention area. I I know at the time I was being required to build the road to nowhere, that they did take into account the swales and some of the, maybe the water from the street there, from Old Wishton Road. And I don't know whether the city needs that, but we have to go through SWIFT money in order to close it, and then it becomes easy to mow. When it's this huge drainage retention area, it's just impossible. And I have no use for the property. I would love to give it to the city. You know, I realize that I have to, you know, keep it maintained. We didn't know about the drainage retention area, but the rest of it is mowed. The fenced-in part, I've hired people that are, that have been mowing that. Is that correct, gentlemen? There's not a problem with the fenced-in area.
We haven't looked at the fenced-in area. We're looking
it's
at
fine.
Just the area that's adjacent. This is where we cut it last time that we cut it. The area that's adjacent to all these buildings is what is required to be maintained.
That's the drainage retention area. So, you know, can we do that? I mean,
I don't think this board has the authority to take your property
just even,
to do that.
You may want to get in touch with the city's real estate officer, Estelle Lenz, L-E-N-Z.
Okay.
And discuss it with her.
But really, Ms. Welkow, what we're talking about right now is, you know, you're a repeat offender now on this piece, and you're going to have to get that cleaned up whether you give it to the city or not.
I understand that.
Okay.
And I just want to just never have to come before.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
Can I ask one of the questions? Because also, I think engineering, we need to contact them. Is there anybody else y'all
Contact Estelle, and
she'll
help you
with all
that.
Right, right.
Because if you guys want it to say drainage retention area, great, but please don't make me.
Well, the only thing that we're right here for is overgrowth of it, and that's the only thing we can react on, you know?
There's tractors out there in Men, and they get a lot of tractor ropes, and it'll be done tomorrow. I don't even need much time. It'll be corrected. So,
okay.
And again, I'm looking for a permanent resolution.
Yeah, and I can see that.
There's three lots there. The other two have been being kept up. I didn't know they weren't keeping up with them. I don't live here anymore, and I've never been
right
there. So
right.
Anyway, it's being handled.
Okay, discussion.
Chip, are we able to, I understand after 14 days, is there a way to reduce the fine from 500 lower? I mean, reduce it?
Yes, this board can.
They can, so it doesn't have to be 500. Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't sound like it's going to be an issue anyway. I have a feeling she's going to do a reinspection and get it taken
care of. Right, she's got tractors out there. Listen.
There's tractors out there right now.
So it really doesn't matter whether we reduce it or not. It's going to be taken care of.
Just take this recommendation.
It's not that we're not trying to be compliant. We just need some relief on keeping a drain.
Well, I think what we should do is go ahead and accept staff recommendation on this, Kathy, and then you're going to clean it up and call for reinspection, and then you can go to the person that's yes, and try to give it to the city. And work hard for that, because we don't want to see it back here, you know.
You can call the city councilors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can call the public officials here, the city council.
Yeah.
Well, go through all those routes.
I'm definitely going to make it a priority now. I thought I had it handled and it was being taken care of.
We appreciate
don't
you coming to the board today as well.
Oh, don't,
yes.
Okay.
I understand you guys have a tough job. You know, a lot of us have properties we don't want anymore.
Yes, ma'am.
Should I let them go ahead and foreclose? No, I'm kidding. But thank you. I'll take care of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion?
Make the motion to accept staff recommendation.
Mr. Bassel has made a recommendation. Take staff recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Shirley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Please support me to move on in the agenda.
Okay.
To page two.
C-14-0710,
the city of O'Neill versus Franca Blackman, a location in the 2000 block of Southwest 1st Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, condition of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2260-149-016. We obtained legal service on the notice of violation on 7/21/2014, and the notice of hearing was returned. We posted the property on 7/24/2014 and on 9/24/2014. We have as part of the additional correspondence, included a copy of the facts where we requested the deed on this property.
You requested the deed?
Yeah, normally we wouldn't even bring sometimes we can't find the deed in the property appraiser's material, so we have to send a fax off to the clerk of the courts, who then produces the deed for us. It's an expensive process. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location did the citizen's complaint on arrival, observed the property and violates the city's code, and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondent has not taken corrective action to remedy the violations. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included copies of the photographs of the current condition of the property. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. And staff has a staff recommendation. If you'd like, I can read that into the record at this time.
Go ahead.
Staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, order them to cut and clean up their property, properly removing any chunk of debris, and pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which, a fine of $25 per day, and the city to enter upon the property and do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I would point out for the record that the respondent is not present tonight.
Did you say that it was returned? The notice was returned?
The notice of violation was received. The notice of hearing was returned.
Okay. All right. With this one, guys, do y'all want to shorten the time on it and up the fine a little bit? They're playing games here with the...
I would point out that this respondent is from White Plains, New York.
They live in New York, and it's 0.9 of an acre.
They're still playing games when they just turn the notice back, you know?
And I would point out we've been trying to work with them since July.
Mm-hmm. Staff recommendations, I think we should shorten it to 7 business days.
What about the maximum? Do you want to remove the maximum?
Go to the maximum.
Go to the maximum, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think we should do. Maybe
what I'm talking about is it's the range, like the final stop at 5,000. Do you want to make that 20,000 instead?
Well, in this particular one, we are just asking for a fine of $25 per day. If you wanted to raise that, you could raise it up to $250 per
That's
day.
That's what I was...
And you can set a maximum.
Well, let's do it $250 a day.
Will it just accrue if there's no maximum? I mean, it could just keep going.
It keeps going. The reason why we've been trying to set maximums on some cut and clean up repeat violator cases is because if they're just going to sit there, when staff has to go back 5 years from now when they
you got
to
count the days.
Right. Yes, so that's why we just, you know, if there was 500 days, we still go to the
A fine's probably the only thing. The assessed value is $850 on the piece of property. So, I mean,
that's why we try to max them out as well.
$250 a day?
Yes.
7
okay.
days?
Make that motion.
Okay, Mr. Backlund made the motion to shorten it to 7 days and maximum fine of $250 per day. I have a second.
Second.
Joseph has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That brings us to the bottom of page 2, CON 14-0959. The City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Gabriella and Jamie Marin and Federal National Mortgage Association. This is a repeat violator case, and the location is 716 Southeast 28th Avenue, Ocala, Marin County, Florida. We'll point out this is right off. You go just south of the tennis courts, back in that area there. This is a problem property that we've been dealing with for a number of years now. It's for violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter, and Section 34143, maintenance requirements for properties in foreclosure. The parcel ID is 2782-054-002. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 8/25/2014 for the notice of hearing. We've included copies of that information in your case. We've also included a copy of the findings of fact and part and affidavit of partial compliance in the first case, the less pendants, the assignment of mortgage, and the complaint email. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to citizen's complaint upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2013, the respondent work while Officer Thomas enabled the property to be registered. However, the spots have not come into compliance with the overgrown and maintenance requirements violations. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included copies of the current condition of the property. As you can see, we're dealing with a big mess here. And staff recommendation be find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida Statutes and 34143. Order them to, one, clean the property, removing any junk and debris, maintain the property in accordance with property registration and maintenance ordinance, and pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of $5,000, and the city to enter upon the property, do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I'd like the board just to consider that this property is probably one that will eventually be sold, moved through the system. Someone will probably make this a nice tax-producing property mm-hmm. again at some time.
That we need.
Why I've asked for a cutoff on the fine in this situation is this is a perfect example where it's probably better for the city to go in here and take action to remediate the violation, clean up the property, and assess a lien that would not cause a re-foreclosure where we would then get nothing. So if our lien is borderline, sometimes they'll pay them. And that's my goal. If it's going to cost them, they're just running the numbers on us at this point. If it's going to cost them less to re-foreclose it, they would do that. If they can just pay the lien and get out of it, they'll do that. So that's why we're at where we're at on this one.
Mm-hmm.
We try to think these things out strategically.
But now that the list pen has been filed and the bank's been added, you can pretty much cross out the individual because they're not going to.
That's what's going
to
happen.
They have no interest anymore.
So now we're back to the where if the bank's going to do it or not do it. Yeah,
right.
So we need to get their attention.
My assumption is that, you know, we'll say a repeat violator, we'll send them the thing that says it's a $5,000 or $500 fine, and maybe they'll take some action. If not, within 14 days, we'll be out there, we'll cut and clean it up, and we'll assess that as part of our meeting.
Can we shorten the time down to 7?
I would leave that at the board's discretion.
Okay. And again, the mortgage company, bank, you know, they don't care. They don't care who lives around that kind of stuff. And they're... What do you think? 7 days?
Yes.
7 days? Maximum fine of the 500? Okay. So do we have a motion?
So we're just going to adopt a 7-day instead of 14 days and retain the rest of the order?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because you guys are going to be out there cutting it anyway.
Sooner the better, right?
And sooner the better. Those neighbors need to have something done. That's a mess. Do you need additional time,
Chip? We'll certainly strive to get that done. I think it's important in this case. This is right in the middle of a neighborhood, a residential.
It is. It is. I'm familiar with this house as well.
6 feet of weeds.
It's horrible.
So I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendation and amend the amount of time to 7 days.
Right.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Derek. Yeah, this guy here. And second by Shirley. All in favor? And
aye.
And it's reduce it from 14 to 7 days, the maximum fine. I mean, the fine of 500 and maximum 5,000.
Thank you. That'll move us to the top of page 3. The city of Alcala.
Hate me.
Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Mohammed J.
Which one?
C-114-1031. Top of page three. This is at a location of the 1200 block of Southwest 5th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2845-055-022. Legal service was
somebody
obtained
it. See it?
On 8/9/2014 for the notice of violation and 8/29/2014 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings are that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property in violation of the city's code that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris from a fallen tree. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation. All attempts promised to have the respondent remedy the violation and have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included copies of photographs of the current condition of the property. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondent here this evening for the case, and staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 4495, order them to cut and clean up their property remove any junk and debris, and pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, spending which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to enter upon the property and do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Staff is prepared to answer any questions you may have, except if you have any. If you need to speak with Dwayne.
Mr. Thomas, have you talked to the owner?
I actually have had conversation with him. Mm-hmm. I was at the property and actually had to call fire rescue because of his cleaning efforts.
He tried to light the tree on fire, huh?
Yeah.
It looks like he took a chainsaw and was cutting it up or something.
Yeah, it actually sat there and smoldered for quite some time, and I guess.
And there's, it looks like there's houses within 300 feet of that area.
Yeah.
So Mr. Muhammad was cleaning it up and burning it right there.
He did cut it, the property, but it's now again, because you've seen the pictures.
How's he respond to you when you're out there?
At first, it starts off good, and then we go nowhere.
Go nowhere. Okay. Thank you. It seems like these guys go out there and they do this, and the guy tries to do something. He doesn't want to clean up his property, and we have homes right there close to it. How do we get this guy's attention?
If we keep making the time of compliance 7 days, and we're going to make the guys in the city really busy.
They can't get their paperwork done.
So just give them I'd make a motion to give them the 14 days at $100 a day.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. $100 a day should get his attention. I mean, I'm sure this guy's not.
I'm thinking, like you said, Mr. Grassel, that the 7 days is short for the ladies and to get the paperwork done. But I think raising the fine from 25 to the maximum 250 or 100, depending upon the case, is what we do.
Yeah, I think, I mean, 100 is going to get his attention. I mean, in 10 days, that's a grand.
Yeah.
It adds up quick.
Do I have a motion?
I'd make a motion to amend staff recommendation to raise the fine to 100 a day.
Okay. Do I have a second? I have a first from Mr. Jason to raise the fine to $100 a day, and a second by Mr. Batzel. All in favor?
Aye.
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 That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, C-114-1103, the City of Ocala versus Mr. and Mrs. Pierre. I'll go with that. Vanicure? And Lucy. I'm sorry.
Pierre.
We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. The violation is of section 34, the location, I apologize, is 1949 Northwest 1st Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2260-128-016. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 8/25/2014 for the notice of hearing. And as part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the findings of fact and the affidavit for partial compliance in the first case where the city brought the property into compliance. Summary of findings: that Officer Kilcrease located his property, observed properties in violation of the city's code, and that it was overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2013, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualified this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation. All attempts by Officer Kilcrease and the respondent of the violation have not been successful, and violation remains. We've included copies of the photographs of the current condition of the property. I would point out for the record, the respondent is not here to answer for these charges. Staff's prepared to answer questions that you may have. And the staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of the presentation.
I really think the staff recommendation here is perfect.
Yeah, I think they've
perfect.
Trying to, they've already ramped it up on that.
I have a motion.
Make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Mr. Batson has made a motion to accept staff recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second.
second by Joseph. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That'll be Mr. Bachman, page three, CON 1409, the city of Ocala versus WRA, care of Beatrice V. Allen, a location of 2900 block northeast 18th Court, Ocala, Maine, Florida, a violation of section 3195, weeds accumulation of trash and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2441-001-001. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of the presentation. In summary, findings that Officer Kilpeace responds to this location due to the citizen's complaint, and upon arrival, observe the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Kilpeace revealed the response of not taking corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Kilpeace to have the respondent render the violation have been successful in violation of minions. Staff has included copies of the photographs, the current condition of the property. You can see that before we have had this property cut previously, but they don't live here, and the neighbor next door that's at the bottom of page 3 gets upset when the property comes.
Basically, you're talking about mowing here, and that's
all
it.
All you need to do is just
mowing. You've got an angry neighbor that the grass is too high.
Yes, sir. That's what
doesn't look too bad right now. I mean, it didn't real bad, but
it's not certainly not as at to the point that some of the other properties we've
yeah
had,
yeah
but it is overgrown.
Okay.
I think we're offering them some time. I would point out the respondents are not here, but we our staff recommendation does include some time where there won't be any fines. If they can get it taken care of, we'll reinspect it and deal with it.
I think that we can take staff recommendation on this, guys. What do you think?
Yes, sir.
Make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second it.
I have a motion from Jason to accept staff recommendation. Mr. Batzel seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 That'll bring us to page 4 of your agenda this evening. The city of Ocala versus Warren Mark, CON 1344. I think it should say Mark Warren. The location is 1949 Northwest 5th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. Section 34121, definition of an abandoned and derelict vehicle. And section 34122, abandoned and derelict vehicles. Section 82442, the definition of implementation and enforcement of the numbering system. And section 82443, display of billing numbers. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of the presentation. We have included the findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance in the first case where the city brought property into compliance the previous time. The summary of findings, Officer Kilpeace responded to this location to the citizen's complaint upon arrival to the property in violation of the city's code and it is overgrown and contains an abandoned derelict vehicle and does not display the required building numbers. Additional investigation revealed that in 2012, this respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Work by Officer Gilchrist enabled the property to be
noted, at least.
However, the respondents did not come into compliance with the vehicle building numbers, and we still have some junk and debris upon the property. All attempts by Officer Gilchrist to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and violation remains. This respondent is in Massachusetts. We had a little bit of conversation with them on what needed to be taken care of. They have not taken care of that. Therefore, we're at the staff recommendation that's at the bottom of page 2.
I think the staff recommendation hits it perfect.
Yeah, they nailed them on this one, too.
They nailed it,
today.
Yeah. Do I have a motion?
Motion to accept the staff recommendation.
Joseph has take staff recommendation. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Shirley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That'll bring us to the top of page 5 of your agenda this evening, CON 1294. The city of Ocala versus Elizabeth Woods, the location at 1228 Northeast 28th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, trash, and other unsanitary matter. Parcel ID is 24709-006-00. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated summary findings that Officer Schollenberger located this property and observed property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that the respondents have not taken corrective action and all attempts to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. Staff has included photographs of the current condition of the property. So we got a problem. You can see where the city cuts right away. That's pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. What kind of roof is that, Chip?
Yeah, I never seen that one. Is that just plywood exposed?
Not Chip's roof.
It's got a cool seal.
Staff has recommended.
It looks like plastic.
That's what we recommend. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondent who lives at another location outside of the city limits, but certainly within the county.
This one here, I think we ought to do something with the maximum fine on that. Just we'll leave the 14 days, but go to the
you
maximum
said they
fine.
did respond, or they?
They did not.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not previously.
So.
And they live.
I think we should make it $250 a day.
It seems a little.
Yeah,
a
I would say
harsh.
We did 100 earlier. I mean, 100 would get somebody's attention if anything.
Okay,
were.
100. But $25, I don't think it's going to get that.
No, I agree. 25
yeah.
is too low.
Yeah. It's awful growing up around there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And they don't respond. That means they really don't care, do they?
And they live in the county, so they should be able to get over there.
Yeah. Got a big yard, they can come and mow it.
Sure.
Quickly.
Sure.
I make the motion to amend staff recommendation to $100 a day.
Okay. We have a motion by Mr.
Gatzel.
to raise it from $25 to $100 a day, and a second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That'll bring us to old business on your agenda. So I'm the cases listed on
name
the old business as a consent agenda item, with the exception of C-1-14-1162, which this board heard earlier and granted an additional 7 days. I will testify that each of these cases have an affidavit of non-compliance in their case file, and would respectfully request a motion to accept these as a consent agenda item and to proceed with previous board orders as listed in the case file.
I'd make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
Jason made the motion. Mr. Bassel made the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Staff would respectfully request a motion to accept all of the evidence, testimony,
second.
Ms. Shirley first, Jason second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The city having no further business, we would turn it over to the board for any additional discussion.
No discussion here. Meeting adjourned. Huh?
Aye.